Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe is here. Joseph McGranahan, vice chair of the State Mayors Association.
No. I'm a vice president.
The vice president.
I'm not vice chair.
What's the difference?
Well, the difference is I have a region that I'm responsible for.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes.
What's your region?
The central part of the state, northern central part.
Okay. So you talk to Gabe... Capelli?
Gabe Campana. He's in my district, yes.
Okay. And let's see, Dorn? Mr. Dorn?
Oh, he's retired. John Dorn's retired. Great longtime mayor of Montoursville.
Let's see.
Does that exhaust your knowledge of mayors?
Well, Daniel Berard.
Right.
In Northumberland. And Mr. Karlovich in Sunbury. And Reed over in Seals Grove.
Jeff Reed. And Wagner and Lewisburg and...
Oh, Judy, okay, of course. I know her.
Right.
They're just not top of the mind.
Bernie Swank. Remember Bernie?
Yes.
Montoursville?
Oh.
Oh, not Montoursville. Danville.
Danville.
Sorry. Yes, up there with Councilman Herr.
Okay, all right.
Councilman Herrett.
Herrett. Is supposedly a good councilman. I don't believe it myself.
No, I think he probably loafs on the job.
I think he does. There were two pictures of him in the Daily Item this week, and both of them, his head was down. So I think he was not looking at his papers. So, all right, well, welcome on board, everybody. This is WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. I am Mark Lawrence. Joe is here, and I was trying to do his introduction when he introduced me and began to regale me with his knowledge of the many local mayors in this valley.
No, you started that. I didn't.
I know, but you participated, and you did the regalization. I just asked a few questions.
Okay. The regalization, is that a word?
It is today.
Okay.
Mr. Rob Center is our mayor of production on the other side of the glass. Make sure that callers get through and important information, and tells us when our archives need archived or need to be redone, and he just takes good care of us. That's his nature. Over in the newsroom is Mr. Cat Matt Trillo. He's the news director over there doing a super job.
Cat? I thought his name was Matt.
Matt Catrillo is his name, but he gets called Matt the Cat or...
Matt the Cat, okay.
Catman or different things like that.
Catmandu?
Catmandu traffic and other things
Catmandu
in the morning.
Catmandu great reporting?
He does.
Catmandu typing?
Yes, he's a clackety-clacker, baby. And his handwriting looks like yours.
Does it really?
Yes.
I feel sorry for you trying to read it.
Well, yeah, we don't do that. He has to tap
everything. That's why I learned how to type.
Right. He has to tap everything out on a computer and print it out if you want to read his handwriting.
Is he left-handed?
Not that I'm aware.
Okay.
I don't think so. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565 if you wish. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. If you're a Text Connect member, just reply to a previous message or start up a new one at 70236. If you haven't signed up for Text Connect yet, I always make a sort of a mini explanation here about what it entails. What you would do is go to WKOK.com where it says Connect with Us up at the top there. Click on that and you have choices. You can sign up for emails or text Connect. In that particular case, once you're signed up, we would require that you tell us your cell phone number because we'll send you a text message no more than a dozen times a month, certainly less than that in many occasions, and we let you know about the... Are you okay over there?
Yeah, I was just reading Tom's email.
Okay, so that's coming. Humor's on the way. Anyway, back to Text Connect. We'd send you no more than a dozen breaking messages per month. I think we just sent out a Text Connect. I don't have my phone with me, but...
I don't have one, and I'm a receiver.
No, within the past, let's say, 48 hours.
No, I must have missed it.
So it's breaking news, important information.
Oh, no, I did. I take that back. I deleted it, but yes, I did.
What was it?
I don't remember.
Hmm. Here we go, Tex Connect. It was the Little League World Series and the Southern Columbia Tigers winning.
I thought there was something more recent. Maybe it wasn't. Okay, never mind. But yes, I did receive those.
Detours ahead of Labor Day?
No, possibly. But in any event, we digress.
Yeah, that's the latest. You're right. Excellent point. That's our speciality today.
Digression.
Anyway, 70236. I don't know what I was saying about it, but we think it's important. So sign up for Text Connect. Join the thousands of people who have opted to participate in our Text Connect messaging system. So we very much appreciate that. We have asked for and received emails. We had one this morning about an individual that has been jailed for bringing honey into the U.S., so we'll read that.
But that's a long read, my friend.
Well, we'll read the first couple paragraphs of it.
But then Tom gives us a start for our program this morning. He says, on yesterday's show, a caller was boasting about wearing their MAGA hat and shirt at the River Festival. Did they really think that scene would garner more votes? Really? Very poor taste and inappropriate to try to gather responses at a family-oriented event. My reaction? The only difference between a MAGA hat and a KKK hat is that the KKK hat was made in America. MAGA hat wearers, you can't spell hatred without a red hat. Anyone that thinks this grifter has made America great again, you need to stop looking at your 401k and look at all the promises he broke. Wall, health care, immigration, and national debt, to name a few. His demeanor is a disgrace to this country. In late-breaking news, it was reported that in an unprecedented turnaround, Greenland is offered to purchase the Republican Senate from the NRA. Wow. In yet another story, it was reported that Sarah Huckabee Sanders was going to join Fox News. That's as surprising as water running downhill. Joe, your Donald Trump apology tour every day is sickening. You guys have a good one. That's what I was laughing at.
Jeez.
Okay. Don't hold back, Tom. Tell us how you feel. But, you know, be fair about it for a minute. You know, he's talking about President Trump's broken promises. The wall, health care, immigration, and national debt all have to do with Congress and not the fact that the House has been opposing him on everything that he wanted to do. And admittedly, when he had the Republican majority, he didn't get some of this stuff done either. But, I mean,
what
I don't think
it's... What was the president's wall plan or health care plan?
Well, he says he's going to reveal it in September now.
Oh, okay. Oh, September. That's next week.
That's what I understood. Originally, he said he was going to wait until after the election to do it because he was afraid there would be, derision, if you will, or people who would not who would just block it for the sake of blocking it. But then he announced he was going to release it in September. But then he hasn't said anything more about it. So, you know, this may be pie in the sky as well.
Okay, so that's a broken promise.
I don't know it's a broken promise. It is if he promised to do it in September and he doesn't do it. That's broken. But, you know, does he have a plan? Does the president, do the Republicans have a health care plan? If they have, bring it out. Let's take a look at it. I'd like to see it.
Well, let's see. In Tom's world, how about the wall? I don't think that's a broken promise because
he's building it.
He's working on it with others.
Sure.
Now, he's stealing the money from other programs, but
he's
that's
not
his prerogative.
Stealing the money. He is
reallocating. Right. And money's allocated by Congress, and the president says that's a poor allegation.
Well, he's been upheld in the courts on that one.
Right. No, I didn't say it's illegal. I think it's just the way that he's doing it. All right. So anyway,
but I mean, let's face it.
He
has asked the Democrats to work with him on immigration, and they won't. And as for the national debt, I think Tom's right there. He has broken that promise.
That's a terribly bad broken promise in every way. What about immigration?
Well, he's trying to work with Congress on that. That's what I just said.
Would you say that he's done everything he can on immigration without Congress's help? You know,
he's tried everything.
The different executive orders and so on. So he's probably I think you'd have to put that in promises kept, because he's done as much as he can without Congress assisting, but he has done as much as he can do with executive orders and messing up Homeland or Department of Immigration and all that sort of thing.
Oh, don't forget putting the children in cages,
feeding
them dog food.
He's keeping them in Obama's cages, as you would say.
Well, he is. Obama built them.
Brother. Anyway.
He did.
Moving on. All right.
Matter of fact, the first photos that came out, if you recall, were not from President Trump's era, but from President Obama's era. Let's face it. It's a tough problem, and there's no easy solution to what's going on.
Caging kids is the only way.
No, but who brought the kids here?
So he gets a 50% score on his
If I take my grandson into a bar and start drinking and then drive him home, they're going to arrest me for what? endangering the welfare
corrupting
of a child.
Minors,
endangering
maybe?
The welfare of a child.
Okay.
But I bring my child to the border, push him across, and let him there, and he winds up in a cage, and the people who took him in and are feeding him and caring for him, they're responsible for him, but not me. I pushed him over the border. But I would think I'd be the one that was responsible for putting the child in that position.
Well, parents may be culpable, but that doesn't mean that we should behave in our lowest common denominator manner.
But so what should we do? Put them up at 4-star hotels? You know, we owe them health care, I think, to make sure they're not sick.
The kids.
Feed them. You know, keep them in clean surroundings, give them clean clothes to wear, give them good food to eat.
That seems very reasonable. Those are not things we're currently doing.
But what if it's not in the best accommodations? I mean, on the other hand, if you're overwhelmed, if you're built to handle 200 people and you've got 2,000, what do you do?
All right. So according to Tom, the president has broken half of his promises. The wall is a kept promise. Health care is a blatantly broken promise.
Buying the Republican Party back from the NRA, I don't think that's too far off the mark, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I don't think the Republican Senate is not for sale. They are already wholly owned by the NRA, and the NRA is not selling.
No, I don't think they are.
Nope, they own the president.
I will be fascinated to see what happens when they come back.
Oh, yes, there'll be all this conversation about gun talk, yes, universal
background checks.
Right. The NRA has said already they won't allow it to even come up in the Senate in the form of new bills. All right, and they won't let the president talk about it either. He's done with his gun.
Apparently so.
So, Dan, you are on the mark. Thanks for calling in. Go right ahead.
Good morning. We have a funny connection, but I'll. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yep.
Now.
Okay. Joe, you used an interesting analogy of saying, if you were driving drunk, and you were thrown in jail, they would take the child. You're exactly right. Only problem is they would not throw him in a dog cage on a piece of aluminum foil and not give him toothpaste. They would take care of the child because that's what our country used to be before we found out what really are Republican values, which children are something you use to try to get to the parents.
You obviously didn't hear what I said. I came back on and said we owe them a clean place to stay. We owe them food to eat. We owe them dental care, medical care to make sure they're all right while they're in our custody.
But
you didn't hear that part. That was exactly
about
what I was talking about. I was talking about.
You immediately blamed Obama for the cages.
And he built them.
That.
He built them.
I was here for that. I didn't like that then, and I don't like it now. Now, Trump himself has said, you know, if we beat these kids hard enough, maybe their parents will stay home.
I don't. Where did he say if we beat these children hard enough? Give me that exact quote.
He said.
Do you understand that your diversion from what we're talking about by asking silly questions?
Silly question. You make a quote and then you can't back it up, and I'm silly?
No, it's called an analogy, and it was used oftentimes in literature. Not movies so much, but literature.
Well, then you should label it as such before you give it out.
Okay, if you can't figure out that was an analogy, I'm not sure we have a lot we can talk about. You also, in this gun control thing, it was about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I said, Joe, Trump's not going to do anything because Wayne LaPierre won't let him, and you said, we'll see about that. Wayne LaPierre won't let him.
I don't talk that way, Than. I don't say, we'll see about that.
Oh. In other words, you don't have an answer for me, right?
No, I think we will see about that. I don't think the Republicans are going to do anything about it. I think the NRA has way too much influence. I've said that on this program any number of times. They seem to block everything without any regard to whether or not it's common sense. They view everything as starting down the slippery slope to confiscation, and I don't believe that's true.
I am on your side. I don't want confiscation, but I also don't want the number of guns that are not, and I know Lance jumps up and down and said we need them because we collect them, but there are guns that aren't needed, and if you want to collect a gun, perhaps a military weapon, and you want to go shoot it, maybe you should have to put the firing pin in a safe and go get it from the police, and then you can go fire it. But I just don't like the idea of people being able to buy a rifle that is very dangerous on the street, and it was built for warfare, not hunting.
Well, I agree with you. That would be true of a bazooka or, you know, a handheld rocket. But the guns have some legitimate purpose. I don't think that we can justify it for hunting. And I think the quality of the license required would depend on the severity of the firearm you want to buy. In other words, you want to buy a handgun for your self-protection, I'm pretty much going to let you get what you want it and when you need it. But you talk about buying something that can fire off 300 bullets in 2 seconds, then you need to justify to me what it is you're going to do with that gun.
Yeah, because it's not a deer rifle.
Unless the deer are firing back.
I'm in Bradford County. There was there were people who bragged that when they went out hunting, they only took from their 12-gauge shotgun, they took two 12-gauge shells, loaded them in, walked out, dragged the deer back, and rejected the other shell onto the floor. That was a successful hunting trip. Hmm. One deer, one buck.
Yeah, can't argue that with you.
That's a good system.
And apparently some people think you need 100 slugs to chop up that deer.
Well, but, you know, Than, the other argument people give you, and it's a valid argument, I'm going to try and be fair about this. People say, well, I don't need a car that can do 120 miles per hour because there's no place where I can drive it at that speed. And yet people do buy cars capable of that, and sometimes people use them incorrectly and run at that speed. But we're not talking about banning cars or putting governors on cars that limit the speed limit to 65 or 70 miles per hour. In the end, it is a people problem. I think you would agree with me. I mean, that gun's not going to go off unless somebody touches it. That car's not going to go off at 100 miles an hour unless somebody's got their foot on the gas pedal.
That 800-horsepower Ford is not going to run over anybody unless a human being does it. That's true. Why is it different from a gun and you have to register your car, but you don't have to worry about registering your AK-47 or 8 or whatever the heck it is?
But you do, don't you? When you buy, you can't buy it without giving your name and address.
The government keeps a record of the purchase, but that's it. They say it's not a gun registry, and they don't. There's no centralized record keeping. The record keeping supposedly just at the point of sale, so that they know, so that the gun dealer knows where the gun went, but not so that the government knows where it went, so to speak, if that makes sense.
Hey, Mark, does that mean that if I bought an AK-47 from you, and you were just about as shady as I am, that I wouldn't have to register, you wouldn't have to tell anybody because nobody knew you had it?
I think if you are doing private sales for two people who are in good standing like you and I are, would be okay, and that you don't have to do any paperwork on that. But I do believe it would be against the law to sell a gun to somebody who you knew couldn't pass a background check, and that's why they were doing a private sale. I believe that would
How is that law written? That
I
it says it's
know.
Okay to sell it to a good person but not to a bad person?
Stan!
Well, that's the reason you have a registration. If somebody has shot three people in their lifetime and they want another gun and three more shells, I would question it, wouldn't you? I'd say that might be a bad person.
Right. I think you're not permitted to sell to somebody who you knew can't pass a background check, even if a background check's not required because of the private sale.
How would I know it unless I ran the background check?
Just as Than described, that's how. Two criminals who would know how that one was wouldn't pass
so
a background check.
So if you come to
check.
Me to buy, I want to buy a gun from you, I have to say to you, Mark, are you a criminal?
No, I think you probably end up, most private sales are just among friends or acquaintances where you'd assume the other person's okay. But we know that there's private. We know that there's private sales that do take place that Than's describing, where you got two bad actors that are, you know, exchanging guns. And
that was the question. I wondered if you could actually do that and get away with it. I'm almost sure that the answer is yes, because they do sell long rifles at things like flea markets and stuff.
Right.
Maybe some of the dealers register them. Oftentimes, it seems to me that they just trade money for guns.
No, they just sell them.
I don't look into it.
Right. There's no background checks at a flea market if you're buying a shotgun. All right. Thank you so much, Than, for the call.
Thank you for listening.
Appreciate it. 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. Please call us immediately. Particularly, we have two good listeners out there that have their FFL, and they would know this answer. Are you allowed to sell a long rifle privately without a background check to someone that you know would not pass a background check? So it's kind of a caveat, but I believe that would not be proper. I think that would be illegal. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Cindy, you are on the mark. Thank you so much for calling in today. Please go right ahead.
So, it is my understanding that that criminals are barred from owning guns, and that is part of why they have this criminal background check that they already perform. And here's what I don't get. So if I were a convicted felon and I went to buy a gun, then the system would reject me. But there's no consequence to me for trying to do that. Why not?
Oh, yes, there is. There definitely is.
Well, they
is.
Don't arrest these people.
Yes, they do.
In prison.
We arrest them in Shamokin Dam. I can tell you that. I see the reports. We've had quite a few people trying to buy guns who are not qualified to do so at a local gun shop. And they report it to the police, and the police file charges.
Well, I'm glad, and they haul them right off to prison. Immediate punishment.
If they can grab them at the time, yes. But they have been taken to prison, and they have been charged.
Well, it's my understanding, Joe, that is unfortunately not consistent across the country. And to me, this is part of the problem, that people want more and more laws when the laws that we already have are not being effectively and immediately implemented. And that's foolishness. More isn't going to fix the problem. But the effective use of the ones that we have will. And even if you have all these rules about registration, which I'm sure are greatly, are very well intended, nothing stops the criminals from doing this. It seems to me that that the advocates for more and more gun registration only seek to impede legal, law-abiding people, because they will readily admit, if they're honest, that the criminals will still have the guns and will still use them. So what you're doing is you're treating a cold when someone has a hangnail. You know, they're not going for the issue that really is the problem. And, oh, yes, we're treating the problem. No, actually, you're not. You know, I raised this issue a couple weeks ago. Doing something that isn't relevant and effective is wrong. And worse yet, in my opinion, it steers us away from actually identifying something effective that could be done.
Well, universal background checks is what you're talking about, not gun registration. I think you're kind of using them interchangeably. But, there is a widespread push for universal background checks.
Right. I don't see the value of it. Except for this. If you were someone who wanted to have a registry of all the people in this country who owned a gun, right, that would be pretty handy. And the only reason I can think of for why I would want to have such a thing is so that if I ever needed to go get that gun, I know where it is. Makes it faster and easier. When it would strip the law-abiding people of their weapons, it won't stop the illegal use of weapons. It won't stop. Are there people who are harmed by legally owned weapons? Yes, in fact.
Predominantly.
Yes, right. So registering that gun doesn't stop that gun from shooting someone else.
well,
in
I think
any way,
you're fine.
Shape, or form.
Honestly, I think as we get farther into the gun debate, you'll see less conversation about universal background checks and more conversation about red flag laws or the semi-automatic rifle ban or the restrictions on the size of magazines, those kind of things. I think that's where really the debate's going to land. Universal background checks, as you have explained, it wouldn't help. I mean, I can't think of any of the shootings that have occurred in the U.S. where a background check would have prevented the sale of a gun. Of course, then there's the secondary market. Obviously, the person who does a mass shooting is a criminal, so they would be willing to buy in a criminal fashion to procure their gun. But red flag laws, magazines, I don't know if a ban on assault rifles would be an effective thing or not. We could certainly look at how it worked, if at all, in the U.S. when there was an assault weapons ban.
Was anybody harmed during that ban? Anybody have a problem?
It just depends on who you ask. You know, some people say no, some people say yes. Oh, yeah, people were harmed then. Cindy, we'll finish this conversation after the top of the hour.
Okay.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WDKOK Sunbury. WDKOK News Time. It is 9 a.m. CBS News, then local news on WDKOK Sunbury.
This is CBS News on the Hour.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. I was right once again that you're not allowed to sell firearms to somebody who you know won't pass a background check or is not permitted to possess that firearm for any reason, any violation of state or local laws or federal laws.
If you know that they can't. But as you read it, it's almost unenforceable.
Well, that's your view on things. It's still illegal. All right, welcome aboard, everybody, on the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. Dan's at work today, so he's not listening. He would have cleared this up in a big, fat hurry. The question was...
There you go, using those terms again.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's insensitive. Okay,
it
sorry.
Is.
Joe's... sensitive about his slight chubbiness.
What are you talking about? I'm fit as can be.
National Shooting Sports Federation says on the topic of giving or selling a gun to a friend, acquaintance, or other individual, says the first question you have to ask is whether the intended recipient can legally own the firearm where he or she lives. With more than 20,000 different gun laws on the books, even the kinds of firearms that law-abiding citizens can own varies from place to place. For example, juveniles in the U.S. under the age of 18, generally speaking, are prohibited from possessing a handgun. Check out the ATF laws for an overview of local laws. And whatever you do, don't forget that you can never, under any circumstances,
never
transfer a firearm to someone you know or you have reasonable cause to believe legally can't own one. That's a federal felony, so be careful. So it's a little bit broader than what I said. I said that you can't sell a gun to somebody who you know can't pass a background check. But what they're saying is because of the myriad of all the laws on the books, you cannot legally transfer a handgun or rifle to somebody who you know.
Oh, no. Have reasonable cause to believe.
Or have reasonable cause to believe legally can't own one.
What if I don't have reasonable, define reasonable cause to believe?
Well, it would have to be somebody that you know to be a straw purchaser of guns, for example. You know.
Okay, so in other words, Bob, it would have to be me committing a deliberately illegal act.
Right. You're committing it, and they're committing it by buying it.
But if I don't know your background, you walk up to me at a flea market and say, hey, right. I'd like to buy your gun.
Right. Then you have no reasonable expectation. I think a wise person would go to the nearest background check place and check it.
Where is the nearest background
any
check
gun
place?
Any FFL dealer, like Stan is one he's talked about. So is another fellow that calls here from time to time.
What do they charge you for that?
I think $20, $25 is common. I think
and who's
$10
that, who's
is like
that
the
on?
Lowest.
Is that on the buyer or the seller?
Who's in charge of the background check?
Yeah.
I think the seller is the person that is.
So, in other words, there's an affirmative obligation on my part to determine if you're qualified to hold the gun. Your assertion aside that you are, I'm obligated to find out if you are.
Right. Oh, that would be a very good idea. I don't know that you're obligated to inquire.
Why? The law says a reasonable...
Right. Well, I wouldn't go looking for trouble. In other words, if I wanted to get rid of the shotgun and a family came up to me and said, I see you with that shotgun, do you want to sell it? And, you know, they look relatively law-abiding. They appear to be law-abiding in other ways.
How does one appear to be law-abiding?
Well, their car has an inspection sticker and appear to have a current license plate, and that's all I can think of.
So I come up to you, and I've got a few teeth missing and a couple of tattoos. Would you sell me the gun?
Well,
I could be a perfectly law-abiding person, but I might not look like it.
If you're carrying a sign that says, I will buy AR-15s.
What if I'm wearing a MAGA hat?
No, I would be very suspicious of that.
I figured you would be.
That's the least trustful person in the world. No, I'm just kidding. The man who invented the hats doesn't always tell the truth, but I think the people who wear the hats are probably truth tellers, wouldn't you think?
I would hope.
They would have a propensity for honesty. They're certainly honest about their support for the president.
Well, in any event, we...
Despite the obvious embarrassment it must bring.
I think that that this makes a very good case that there are some laws that are needed, some loopholes that need
changes.
To be closed.
Oh, I agree.
I think the language is too obscure to make a definitive definition. In other words, if it's on me as the person who's selling the gun, then it needs to be on me. There needs to be specifically things set out.
Well, universal background checks.
I have to get a background check. I have to get one before I sell you the gun. That would eliminate the reasonable suspicion part of that. You know, I need to go to some third party who is guaranteed to give me the right answer. If you're going to hold me responsible at all, then hold me completely responsible, not partially responsible, for things I may or may not know.
One of my MAGA hat-wearing friends says the purpose of universal background checks is to codify precisely what Joe's talking about, making it a verbal obligation or a real obligation to get a background check on every gun sale. It would help take guns out of the hands of criminals.
Okay. That sounds reasonable.
Okay. Thank you. All right. So thank you for the text. Appreciate that.
We never did get to the headlines.
We never did. Nor have I mentioned that we have got a marvelous sponsor, and we are just super happy about it, and they are the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, located on 4th Street in Sunbury and Routes 11 and 15 in Homeless Wharf. Since I have not started the headlines, I'll pause them for a moment. Since Frank has dialed in, I've asked for calls, and we got them, so let's do that. 1-800-795-9565 is the open phone. 70236 is the text connect number, and on the mark at WKOK.com is our
email
address. Thank you.
You're welcome. You seemed a little lost.
I got too much on my plate here. Frank, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in. We'll do headlines in a moment.
All right. Good morning. You'll be the judge and jury, the both of you. I, in my total ignorance, back in probably 1995, 96, I would have huge fundraisers for church, and it was basically bring whatever you got in your house, we're going to sell it. We raised money for international students. I mean, we made like $3,000-$4,000 in an afternoon just taking donations, but there was given to church, and at my property, which is very convenient for a lot of motorists to come stop and look at everything we built, there was a Springfield Armory rifle given.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. All right. So a guy comes up to me, and they're looking through stuff. And, I mean, there is an incredible amount of items for sale. I mean, and we're just wanting to move it. The whole thing was is we'd rather get rid of it than have to store it. Well, a guy comes up to me, not quite with toothless or, with tattoos. He comes up, got any guns for sale? And I said, yeah, we got one back here. Somebody brought it in. So I said, what will you give it? What will you offer for it? He says $50.
Oh, it's worth $500. Come on.
I know that's the shocker. But all right, I have no idea who bought the gun, where it came from. I have no idea of the guy who purchased it. He just says he got any guns, and we were interested in raising the funds. All right, there's where a loophole would happen. I was totally ignorant of gun laws back in the 90s. It didn't matter. we probably didn't have the issues back in that timeline. But, yeah, I sold it right there.
Well, I think...
At a church fundraiser.
Right, but you didn't do anything wrong. You had no expectation that he's not law-abiding, and you certainly know that grown-ups in central Pennsylvania are permitted to own guns, and you had received the gun perfectly lawfully. So I don't think, under those circumstances, you had an obligation. I don't think you did anything wrong. According to this, this is pretty clear. You have to have some idea that the individual buying the gun isn't supposed to have a gun.
But that's ridiculous. How can we ever put that on somebody without mandating that they actually do something affirmative, like go somewhere where they can get a definitive answer?
I think it's
yeah, that caught me. That caught me, because if the seller has to pay that $20 for the background, you know, that's just like at the turn. Why
I think
you?
This law is intended to catch criminals. Criminal individual who sells criminally and is selling to somebody who they suspect or know is a criminal and is not doing background checks. But if you had universal background checks, church sale would have been required to do one. And the other thing is, you can just volunteer for it. You can say, okay, great, we took the gun down to Geyser Guns. They're going to sell this, and they have the gun there, and that's where you can buy it. And they'll give us the $50, which, again, I wish I'd have known about that. There's just aren't any Springfields
that
aren't worth it.
Later
least.
On. Yeah.
Okay. So,
wow.
So, but that's another topic.
That's an American Picker story.
Yeah. Good point. Good point.
All right.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks a lot.
But anybody can ask for a background check on a gun sale. You don't, just because you're not obligated, you can go down to, what's the one in Shamokin Dam? I forget
Gators.
The name. Yeah, Gators. You can say, hey, this is a church sale. Can you run a background on Joe? He wants to have a Springfield, and he's willing to give us the $50, so can you do the background check? And you would pay the fee there.
Well, all
that.
I'm saying is that language is ridiculous. It doesn't. It puts an obligation on you that you can't possibly knowingly discharge accurately unless you get a background check from somebody objective who will look at the record and say whether or not the person's qualified to own the gun. Why not just go right to that?
Mm-hmm.
Why say that I can't knowingly sell to somebody that might not be permitted to own the gun?
Well, I see what you're saying. No,
how
makes
would I
sense.
Know that?
I think that's a winning argument. I don't have a comeback for that. I think the law is written in this way to prevent individuals who do happen to, for whatever reason, you know, those few individuals in the U.S. that are selling guns that do happen to know that the individual they're selling the gun to couldn't pass a background check. I don't think it's meant to be a mass gun control measure that's designed to make the whole country safer or something like that.
Well, we talk a lot about what's necessary to solve some of these mass murders. I don't think that's going to solve
It won't be that.
I mean, I can't think of any single law we could enact, short of confiscation, that would stop the problem. And that won't stop it, because criminals, guess what? They don't follow the law. They're going to find some way to get them. They'll be smuggled into the country, just like alcohol was during Prohibition. And there will be a market for them. There will be people who will buy them illegally. There will be people who use them illegally. I know that the president gets a lot of bad press for this stuff, but he's right. This is a mental health problem. I'm not saying that the people who use guns are crazy by any stretch of the imagination, but the people who commit these mass murders, I think you can make a pretty good argument that they're not right in the head.
Right. No argument there. But at the same time, do we have to have the kinds of weapons that are used in mass shootings so readily available?
No. No, I don't think we do.
So that's what we're talking about.
But on the other hand, as Stan has pointed out, you take that AR-15 rifle with a 100-shot clip and armor-piercing bullets, you put it in the corner, it's never going to go off or hurt anybody until somebody picks it up. And that's true, isn't it?
Yes, that promo's coming up.
Is it? Okay.
As soon as this show's over. All right, we're going to air it a couple times today. 1-800-795-9565. I will take a quickie break, and when I return, we'll do news headlines, and we have received an
email.
What
will I do when you return?
You just have to bide your time and wait. You can get a background check on yourself.
We are in this together, aren't we?
Yes, that is my twisted, sad, unfortunate fate.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. 1-800-795-9565 is the open phone. We're talking about how universal background checks would help make us safer. So we're talking about that. What do you think? In the news, big change for Northumberland's parking restrictions during PennDOT's work this fall. Northumberland Borough Police have announced new parking bans when it comes to new construction starting this Thursday. Borough Police have told residents beginning Thursday at noon there will be no parking on either side of the street on the new detour routes. That will last until construction's completed on or about Thanksgiving. Officers say vehicles will need to be moved from the detour route that uses Priestley Avenue, Orange Street, and 3rd Street. Officers say vehicles not moved will be ticketed, then towed. In a previous detour in recent years in Northumberland, typically on the detour routes, only one side of the street had the parking restriction, but now police say both sides of that first section of Priestley Avenue, Orange Street, and 3rd Street clearly marked as being on the detour routes, and the residents are already in fear. That's an editorial comment. They know who they are. No parking on either side of the street. That means there'll be no parking in front of Northumberland Borough Hall. That's on Orange Street as well. PennDOT says new temporary traffic signals and new detour routes go into effect this Thursday at 1 p.m. They'll put the traffic signals on full automation, actually stopping traffic, Thursday at 1 o'clock. Then they'll move all the detour signs in place that are already set up and ready to go. And then they'll start work on King Street and a new section of King Street on Friday morning. All right. And more about this at WKOK.com on the Mindy Forsman interview for Monday morning on Sunrise. The city of Sunbury may get some financial advice from the state. City officials may participate in what is called the Strategic Management Planning Program.
It is a program offered by DCED, the Department of Community and Economic Development, by the state, to give communities the opportunity to evaluate their current financial status and projected financial status over the next 3 to 5 years, and then put plans in place to improve their financial outlook.
And that is Jody Alker, the city administrator in Sunbury, says participation is voluntary, but it does have a cost. The city will consider paying that cost at their next city council meeting. State attorneys general and lawyers representing local governments say they are in active settlement talks with Purdue Pharma, the maker of the prescription painkiller OxyContin that is facing billions of dollars in potential liability for its role in the nation's opioid crisis. Purdue has been cast by attorneys and addiction experts as the main villain in the crisis for producing the drug while understating its addiction risk. A report by NBC News said that the privately held company has offered to settle for $10 to $12 billion. In a statement, the Stamford, Connecticut-based company said it's prepared to defend itself, but it sees little good in years of wasteful litigation and appeals. Purdue believes a constructive, global resolution is the best path forward, and the company is actively working with the state attorneys general and other plaintiffs to achieve this outcome. News of the settlement involving more than 2,000 lawsuits against the company and other players in the painkiller industry comes about 2 months before the first federal trial over the toll of opioids is scheduled to take place in Cleveland. NBC reported that Purdue presented a plan for it to declare Chapter 11 bankruptcy and then restructure. Here's how it would work. They would restructure into a for-profit public benefit trust, with all of the profits from its ongoing sales of pharmaceuticals going to benefit the states and individuals who were negatively affected by the opioid crisis.
That's an interesting proposal.
Right. Yeah, skip Chapter 11. They would get more money, and plus the company in the decades ahead could make trillions of dollars, so that would be continued to go into
but
this,
you know,
trust.
Not every drug affects every person the same way. You know, you can watch these ads on TV, and you see if you take this drug, you may have this or that side effect, or this side effect's possible. Extremely rarely, this may happen, that may happen. So not everybody is affected the same way by every drug. And sometimes, you know, if you're going to talk about advertising and misleading people, what about promising to cure something that it doesn't cure? I've had picked up cold tablet remedies, guarantee my cold will be gone in 3 minutes after I take this, and it hasn't been.
Well, should I sue? Well, that's
you
might consider that if the company knows that for some individuals it will not cure the cold, and they say that for everybody who takes it, it will cure the cold, would be false advertising. And what happened with Purdue Pharma is they told doctors these drugs are not habit-forming, and that...
Are doctors stupid? Opioids, everybody knows what opioids are.
Well, but see, the company's in hot water. Well, see, this there's really two aspects of this. One, there's the personal responsibility. You know, would you deliberately take an addictive drug over and over again if you knew it was addictive? You know, that's our personal responsibility to bone up on these things. And doctors have a responsibility, and some physicians are being sued. But this is a lawsuit against Purdue Pharma, who understated deliberately.
To whom?
To physicians and distributors of the drugs, deliberately saying that this drug is not habit-forming when they knew it was.
And everybody knows opioids are habit-forming. Opium was habit-forming.
Well, but this would be, you know, the late 90s. We didn't know all that much about OxyContin.
I don't think that would have been
widely known.
But, I mean, let's face it. The drugs have benefits, right? I mean, they are, for people in severe pain, they do have benefits. So if they understate the value... Or they understated. How would they understate it? Would they say you can take this and you will not be addicted, or do they understate it
saying? Right. They say for most people it's not habit forming. That's the phrase.
And they actually use that in ads to the doctors, or verbal representations.
Yeah, pitches to the doctors.
Okay, so what's a doctor's responsibility to determine whether or not a drug salesperson, whose sole motive is to sell the drugs, is telling the truth? You know, we've just talked about gun manufacturers. We have an obligation on my part to determine whether you're not you're an honest person before I sell you a gun. A doctor doesn't have an obligation to determine whether or not a drug company is making false claims about his product?
I think they do, and I think that there are lawsuits against physicians, and there are lawsuits against the major. There's the, sort of these middle distributors of all these pills.
Right.
Like, doctors don't get it directly from Purdue Pharma.
We've all been in doctor's offices when the drug salesman comes in, bringing candy and lunches and all sorts of goodies.
And yummies.
The doctor spends about 2 minutes standing in the doorway talking to the salesman during, you know, on his way.
Right. I mean, receives the pills, doesn't take them.
Right. So, I mean, I think the doctors, I trust my family physician or my primary practice physician to determine what's in my best interest. If I can't trust them to know what is, then I've got a serious problem between me and my doctor.
Well, but see, doctors don't do research. They depend on the drug company to say, you know, this drug is called Tylenol, and it is actually acetaminophen, and it will have these effects, and it will make your stomach upset, but it is not habit-forming.
Well, what role does the Federal Food and Drug Administration have in determining whether or not the claims made? I mean, shouldn't they have been able to determine that oxycodone and its derivatives were seriously addictive and needed to be tightly regulated? Isn't that what they're in business to do, to protect us?
You can't sue the federal government. Obviously, it's a failing on their part. Let's get all the way back to this news story, and then we'll get to the rest of our information. And we can talk about this the whole rest of the show if we want to. But this is a lawsuit. These are lawsuits against Purdue Pharma saying that they understated the addictive ability of the drugs. They knew all along that it was highly addictive. They were telling physicians and distributors that they were not addictive. That's what these lawsuits are all about.
Yeah, and what did the Food and Drug Administration know, and when did they know?
Everybody's culpable. And please, there should be lawsuits, and there are, against the distributors, and there are physicians who are in deep trouble who were distributing these, even though they knew that individuals were coming back that were saying, I am now addicted to this drug, I need a fix. They're saying, well, Purdue Pharma didn't, you know, I'm going to do it anyway because I sell these prescriptions.
What is the money taken from these companies going to do? Is it going to help those people who were addicted? Is it going to put their lives back together again? It certainly isn't going to bring back the dead.
It's not going to bring back people. It is probably going to go, I don't know the answer directly, but I'm assuming the money will go into the opioid crisis that the states and local people are addressing.
Well, it seems to me the government bore some sort of responsibility here to make sure that this was handled in a responsible way. And I think they dropped the ball. I'm not saying Big Pharma doesn't deserve to get its knuckles
right.
slapped. They do.
Right.
But I think there's enough blame here to go around with doctors who didn't prescribe it without being sure that it was safe.
And I think the FDA recognizes their culpability, and they're helping to work on the opioid crisis now. But again, too late for many people.
Right.
And even people who are in recovery say, you know, I was addicted to opioids, say it is a daily recovery. It is not, you know,
no,
I'm
can,
over it now. I'm moving on.
They'll I tell can you imagine it would be hard for those people to ever get their lives back together.
Right.
Again.
They'll tell you they're, you know, 1 year or 2 years clean from using opioids. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We got one call standing by, another one coming in, and an email pending that relates to universal background checks. So we'll get to that. Lance, you are on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning. I'm sorry I couldn't have called earlier. Doggone it. But anyway.
Well, that happens.
Okay. But here we are. As we think about the many discussions that I have had with many people about abortion, there are two things that they come up with. And one is, it's a constitutional right, so I don't need a reason to have one. I think that's pretty doggone valid.
You realize that wasn't the topic we were on this morning.
Background checks.
Background checks. And
yeah. No, I understand this. I am segueing, or whatever they say, onto this, through this, right?
Okay.
Now, I am saying the same thing about guns. Okay? You don't need a reason, because it's a constitutional right.
Okay.
And that's, I think, is totally valid.
In both
really
instances?
On both sides, I had to come to that.
In both instances?
What's that?
In both instances?
I'm afraid so.
Okay. Well, that's.
I mean, it is. I mean, it's a valid statement. And what we come into is a really weird quandary. Folks that are strict constructionalists will say that the Constitution, when it came to the Second Amendment, grew with the times, so that it grew out of flintlocks, you know, into automatic weapons, okay? And the other side that usually wants to say that it's a living, breathing document, say, when it comes to guns, it's a strict instructionalist thing, correct? That's the way it is, you know, you can only have a flintlock. Now, one of the things, too, that is used with the abortions, when, of course, I say that, well, give birth to the baby, and we pro-life nutcases will come in there and take care of it. They say, well, doggone it, some of your homes just aren't the best. And so we'll dismember the kid and suck it up into a tube and into a vial because your homes aren't the best. Well, could you say that same thing to the folks on the board? Because when you really look at places in the USA are more horrible than where they came from. For instance, if you are a woman, your chances of being raped in the USA are twice what they are in Mexico. I mean, I was ashamed, appalled, and everything else when I, you know, looked at those figures. And also, like, for instance, if you come from Guatemala really isn't a bad place, except for one thing. Years back, they elected a Bernie, and all the money left. So it's really unbelievably poor. The wages are about $5 a day if you can find a job. So when folks come to the USA and send money back home making about 12 bucks an hour, my word, they have nice little places to live and everything. Okay?
Okay, well, you're out of time. You're 3 minutes in, and we got another caller waiting. But
okay,
we'll give you
all right. I'll be back.
All right, thank you so much, Lance. Appreciate
Never really got to the point.
Right. It doesn't relate to anything to do with Big
what
Pharma.
What we were talking about, no. Okay.
All right, well, we did talk about guns, so we did talk
we did,
about
yes,
that.
Okay.
Background checks. Paul, last caller before a quickie break. You are on the mark.
Gentlemen, you missed a good program yesterday on the History Channel. It was called Nazis and Drugs. In other words, Hitler was feeding his troops drugs that would keep them awake 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 days.
Yes, he was feeding them
sleep.
Feeding them methamphetamines.
Right. Yeah, I didn't see it yesterday.
Pretty widely known.
But I've seen it and heard about it in the years past.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
okay.
These drugs were new at the time.
Well, the whole thing, in a nutshell, was that the United States government during the Vietnam War was giving out pills, LSD, and they passed it off as a truth serum, not a hallucinating drug.
That's funny.
Well, in other words, things that get out on the market don't necessarily have to pass health requirements because everything can be fictitious. In other words, they can give you a pill and tell you that this is going to cure everything. And the only thing that cures is the mind. Because if you take medication and you don't believe that it's going to help you or cure you, it won't. But if you believe a placebo will cure you, and it does, it will. Mind over matter.
Okay. All right, we got you, brother. Thank you for calling in. Appreciate it.
Yeah. He's gone.
Goodbye, Paul. All right, we'll be right back. Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. We want to tell you about the Sunbury Motor Company. They sell Ford. That's obvious because a lot of people call them the Sunbury Ford, but they are Sunbury Ford. Hyundai, which is a super vehicle, top rated in every category in Consumers Union. And just I got my Hyundai picked out. The Kia Elantra or the Telluride is my vehicle that I like.
Let us not forget Lincoln.
And the Lincoln cars and trucks. Joe's Navigator pickup truck. He's going back to a pickup truck. He wants the 6-foot bed on the Lincoln pickup truck Navigator.
Well, I'd love it, but it wouldn't fit in my garage.
2 rows of seats. Oh, it might be too long.
It is long.
Yeah, if you get the longer bed, the whole vehicle's longer. Yep, no argument there. Because you get 2 rows of seats no matter what with the Navigator. You can't get it squished together. So you have to get the, you're just going to have to get a regular Lincoln Navigator, which is hardly a compromise.
I could make do with that.
Since you like larger vehicles. And, of course, you can go hybrid on all of these vehicles, so you can make sure you can save a buck. Joe is
give me the gas.
Still in denial about global climate change, but that's all right. So is the president. So anyway, Sunbury Motor Company will take good care of you, no matter what your need is, whether it's big, small, hybrid. There's a few electric vehicles available, and they are definitely going to have more of those in the years ahead. And when it comes time for autonomous vehicles, guess who's going to have them first? Kia's right out there in the front of all of this, so they're going to have autonomous vehicles. Those are the ones that drive themselves. All you need is really good internet coverage where you're at, and that vehicle can go anywhere it wants to all by itself. I can't wait for that. They are the Sunbury Motor Company, that is, a premier service provider for all makes of cars and trucks. They have all sizes of cars and trucks. They have tons of pre-owned vehicles that have gone through a million-point check, and they're ready to go with absolutely no dilemmas or flaws. They're a master towing service, so if you got a vehicle that needs towed, they got roll backs and great big hooks, and you name it, they can take care of it. They got car wash, alignment shop, car parts, you name it. They got it all at the Sunbury Motor Company. It's a one-stop shop. If you got a vehicle and it is doing anything wrong, they can fix it. Sunbury Motor Company. Please check them out in advance at sunburymotors.com. We have opened up the phones. We've talked a lot about background checks today. One of our listeners earlier today said universal background checks would not help. To that end, one of our listeners says...
I just listened listen as one of your callers, a nurse by profession, stated that she didn't see the value or purpose of this or that my question, background checks or gun registry. My question to her explained why on several hospital visits as a patient in a two-hour period, they would ask if I knew my birth date several times. Unless you were there for a head injury, I don't see the value in repeating the question. Perhaps things don't have to make sense to all of us or even have value.
Well, I think what she's questioning is the value of universal background checks when the conversation stems from mass shootings. We have all kinds of shootings in the U.S. where there's multiple victims, and in each of the cases, guns were, well, not each of the cases, most of the cases, the guns were purchased legally. So that's why universal background checks wouldn't have an impact on that. But universal background checks could have an impact on other aspects of gun sales. And I'm not speaking for Cindy, but I do know that we did say there's other measures that could potentially make us safer. We got to get Senator Toomey to call us again. This is his favorite topic. Dan, you are on the mark. We are talking about the fact that the NRA owns the president and the U.S. Senate.
No, I disagree strongly. Here's the people. I'm in the NRA. My late great father-in-law, he's the one that introduced me way back before I knew anybody would confiscate my weapons. He introduced me to the NRA, great member. And we're the NRA people like me that care about keeping our weapons. And the one overlooked reason, why do we need an AR-15. Well, I don't need it right now. I hope I never do. But what would we do if our government would take away our freedoms? What would happen if they would redo the Constitution? What would we do?
So that's the same reason that the laws, the Constitution has a bear arms clause.
You got it.
Okay. So
but if there were a constitutional convention and it was ratified by two-thirds of the states that the Second Amendment is null and void, as an American, you'd have to live with that.
Joe McGranahan.
It'll never happen, but that's how you would, that's how you'd amend the Constitution.
Well, I got you. Okay. Anyway, go ahead, Dan.
Out of hearing God's country, I've talked to a lot of firearms owners and people that aren't even hunters, but don't you dare, don't you let the government come for their weapons. They know the value that stands between them and their freedom. They realize that's the final line. If everything else fails, all we have is our firearms, and our forefathers knew that, and they were smart enough to put it in the Constitution. And that's the reason, that's my one and good reason to join the NRA. They're not a big, colossal organization.
They aren't?
Telling the...
Sorry, I think you're wrong on that.
Do you know how many members are in the NRA? It's six, maybe. It was 5 million the last time I signed up. It may be a couple more. 5 million people. That's all there is. Now, there's a lot of people agree with it, with what they're doing, but there's not that many members.
All right, 10 more seconds. Go ahead.
And but you said people don't get addicted to Tylenol. That's not true.
Oh, Tylenol.
I know a lady, and I was very close to her. She was addicted to Tylenol. She couldn't live without it. It could have been a psychological addiction. But don't ever. You can become addicted to anything.
Okay.
So I got to correct you on that. So addiction isn't just with the hated opioids. They're hated right now. Marijuana's loved. We got to get the gateway drug in. Let's get the gateway drug in so everybody can turn to opioids.
Okay.
It don't make no sense to me whatsoever. I talk with an MD.
We're done. Thank you, Dan.
He agrees.
Thank
and you have a good one.
All right, you too. Thank you so much. Jim, you're on the mark. Last caller before a quickie break. Go right ahead.
Good morning, Joe and Mark. Yeah, if I was going to sell you a gun, Joe or Mark, I would ask you if you have a license from either Northumberland County or Snyder County Sheriff.
Well, that's just to carry a handgun. That wouldn't, or to carry,
that would all,
carry concealed,
but that
rather.
Would more or less say that you are allowed to have a gun. And a semi-automatic shotgun would be more of a deterrent than an AR-15. And there is no difference between a semi-automatic shotgun, a pistol, or a semi-automatic rifle.
Would you bring up an interesting point, Jim. If we're talking about if Mark has an obligation in selling the gun to determine whether or not the person he's selling it to has the right to own it, wouldn't a license to carry a concealed permit be prima facie evidence that he does have a right to buy a gun from you?
Right.
Because you would have gone through extensive background checks.
If he had that license, then I would sell him the gun without going to Geyser's.
And would that be legal?
Or Young's. Or a little sportsman shop.
I'm sure it
or
would
Gators.
Be.
Okay.
Naming all of our advertisers.
That's right. So you think it would be legal under those circumstances?
Yes, sir.
Okay. But that doesn't take into consideration anything that may have changed in that person's life. You know, it could have been, they might have been involved in a domestic violence incident.
A crime.
Right, and
so they still have their carry permit, even though they don't.
Right.
Yeah, but a carry permit can be issued to somebody who cannot buy a gun. They could still have the carry permit, even though they can't buy a gun.
That's a conundrum.
It's not a prohibition from owning a gun. It's only a prohibition from carrying one. Jim, thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah, bring up a good point, Jim. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, super call. Yeah, maybe we do need to shore up the loopholes. Well, I can take Cindy because I know it's a minute, so we do have a minute. Go ahead, Cindy.
Good morning again, gentlemen. Although it wasn't my intent, let me answer the comment made by the caller who asked, why would you be asked your date of birth multiple times? Well, I can think of several reasons, one of which, of course, is that the systems the hospital's using are ineffective, which is... You know, I mean, in terms of collecting the data. But past that, we might ask you that question repeatedly if we're worried about your mentation or your that you know who you are, where you are, when we are, kind of a thing. And your date of birth is something that's very personal and long-term memory. And so do you remember this? Can you tell me what your date of birth is? And it should match what's on the paper. They also might do that if they're giving you blood, because one of the most serious malpractice kinds of things that happens in hospitals is that we give the wrong thing to the wrong patient, and blood would be a life-threatening error to make, and so they often double-check all that information on the blood bag to make sure that it's you and you're getting the type of blood that you're supposed to get. Same thing with a lot of medications. So it's a safety issue that they might repeatedly ask you that, or it might be because they're actually doing kind of a mental check on whether you're with us or not.
See if you're hanging in there. Okay.
Right.
All right. And,
the FDA, let me just say, the FDA reviews the data that's presented to them by the researchers. And the research on any medicine is typically headed up by physicians and done by people of various backgrounds, chemists and technicians, et cetera, et cetera. And the FDA reviews that information. So it's based on the honesty of the information, what the FDA is looking at.
Okay.
And they do clinical trials, and they're very stringent about who gets in those clinical trials. And they base what the report of the trial is there then validation on whether or not this drug should be available.
I gotcha.
And to me, the greatest trial of all has been the distribution of these opioids into the American population, which begs the question, why hasn't the FDA withdrawn the drug? Because clearly it's a problem.
All right. Noted.
Good point. Very good point.
Thank you so much, Cindy. Really appreciate the call and the updates and the information.
I would think the answer to that question is they believe their efficacy in dealing with pain outweighs the, you know, the danger, the problems they're causing.
They're necessary.
You could make an argument on either side of that case.
We have an interview. We're going to air another segment of it tomorrow morning that relates to individuals with intractable pain, that opioids is the way to get relief. All right, 1-800-795-9565. We have a few moments left in the show, so speeder dialers are welcome. Two emails are pending, and neither of which are on the opioid topic, and neither of which are on the gun topic. So we got open phones with open open topics coming up. 1-800-795-9565.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All right, welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Chris could very likely take all the oxygen out of the show, which means Lance won't get on. So a first-time caller gets
a second
in.
Second time, rather.
Yeah, right, that's correct, yeah. But Chris, please, go right ahead. You're on the Mark.
Yeah, one thing, Trump is now sending home immigrants who are here on special dispensation for medical treatment. They've been notified they have 33 days to leave. And this includes sometimes things like families who are here with their child on treatment in machines in hospitals, like for cystic fibrosis and whatnot. And they've been told they have 33 days to leave the country. Take your kid off the life support system and...
Oh, so this is all against children who are on life support?
No, not all. It's
what percentage are they?
Special dispensation. Some people come here and have permission to be here, I think it includes, that came here for medical treatment that they couldn't get in their home country.
Well, if they're on special dispensation, why isn't it special anymore?
Because Trump signed an order.
To what end? Does he believe it's being abused?
Get them moved out of the country.
Does he believe it's being abused? I mean, that sounds awfully heartless. I don't believe somebody would just do that because it's Tuesday.
Well, you look into it. And just like with trying to sort of share the blame for the addiction problem and the opioid problem away from Johnson, and Johnson and the other drug companies, well, it's really the other one that's the big problem. They were part of a criminal conspiracy. The other people might have been conned or fooled, but they were part of an actual criminal conspiracy to perpetrate this fraud.
Okay, so
they knew they were addictive.
I agree with you, Chris. They have culpability, but aren't the doctors on the front line? I mean, if I was prescribing this wonderful... Let me finish for a second. If I were prescribing this to multiple patients because I had been told by the pharmaceutical company that it was good and it was not addictive, but I noticed that my patients were having serious side effects and problems, that would be on me, wouldn't it?
I don't think you can make the legal case. You can make the moral case.
Well, okay, but a doctor's, what's the Hippocratic Oath? First, do no harm.
That is.
Thank you
and
so much, Chris.
They were cons.
We'll have to finish tomorrow. Thank you so much, though. Lots more to say about the opioid crisis. Purdue Pharma's...
You know, I'm not by any means giving the pharmaceutical companies a pass.
Purdue Pharma's work on a great big fat trust that would help them distribute funds.
Oh, there you go again.
For help. An obese...
an obese trust.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.